that? It was only a week ago, y'all. Remember that? For real. There you go. Had a little unruly section right over here last week. So I got Joe back where he was at. Just in case, keep her on track. She's about to go on vacation. She needs a vacation. That's probably what it was. She just needs a vacation. Need a little time away. Hear the waves crash. Perception. And I said this. The way you perceive somebody has everything to do with the way that you receive them. And it was really a story about a woman perceiving Jesus one way and a little bit later perceiving him the right way. Could you be honest enough to say this? I've missed him sometimes. I've missed him when he was speaking very plainly to me. And I didn't realize until later, oh, that was the Lord. Because I did not perceive him in the right way. So I did not receive him the right way. You remember the story as it went? The woman was by the well. Jesus asked for a drink. And he asked her for a drink of water. And it said her nationality was a Samaritan. And I told you that by definition, Samaritan means half-breed people. And we talked about that. We went into pretty good detail, pretty great detail about the Samaritan people being half-breed people. They were like outcasts. They were like over there. And everybody else kept to themselves, and the Samaritans kept to themselves. And that was how the whole conversation was such a surprise that Jesus would talk to a Samaritan woman. She even said it. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, for water? You remember that part? So I said this last week. Jesus will break a rule to reach a person. Religious people will break a person to keep a rule. You like that, didn't you, Mickey? I'll say it again, just for you. Jesus will break a rule to reach a person. Aren't you thankful that he'll break a rule? He will break a religious rule to touch a person, but a religious person will break a person. Religious people will break a person to keep a rule. What's wrong with that? Let me take it back even further. Jesus was so intent on reaching these people who were known by everybody that they were a half-breed people. So they were talked about. So they were low class. They were the less than people. And I said the sad thing of all that is this. If somebody calls you something long enough, you might start believing them. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said. I love this. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. Man, that good night. It's not what people call you, it's what you answer to. You can always have dignity. But Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Samaritan people. A matter of fact, he said it like this. In the scripture, it said, I must needs go to Samaria. Aren't you glad we don't talk like that? Christine called me last night, and I had just asked her. I said, do you need me to go by the grocery store? No, come on home. I got right beside the grocery store. The phone rang. I knew I need to go by the grocery store. I knew what that meant. Oh, yeah, can you stop and get some cheese and some tomatoes? Yes, I'll stop and get some cheese and tomatoes. But she didn't say, John, you must need to go to Food Lion. But Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. What he meant by that is, I got to go to Samaria. I got to go there. Why? Because there are half-breed people there. This is the significance of that. Jesus knew this. As long as they are always in their mind thinking of themselves as half, they will never be whole. As long as you're half a person, you will never be the whole person that God calls you to be. And the whole thing that Jesus did for her was so beautiful that it wasn't just her, it was the whole nation that was exposed to the love of the Lord. And a great revival took place there. He told her everything that she had ever done. I want you to say this. He can do it. And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, he can do it for you. Sounds good, doesn't it? Say it again. Say, he can do it. Yeah. He can do it for you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he can do it for you. And somebody thought, well, that sounds good, but you don't know me. You don't know me. Because the truth is, there's a way that the enemy wants to keep you. There's a way that the enemy wants to make you see yourself. And he wants to make you see yourself as half in, instead of all the way in. And that everybody else can go in, but you can only go halfway in because of what you did. You can't go all the way. You can never be whole. You can be half, but you can never be whole. See, the enemy wants to keep us second-class Christians, second-class believers. And if we're not careful, if we let the enemy keep talking, we'll start believing that we're second-class believers, when there's really only one class of people in his kingdom. They are known as citizens, not just citizens of this earth, citizens of heaven. And that's where my citizenship lies. And I'm proud to say I'm not part of a democracy. I'm a part of a kingdom. This kingdom has a king, and I'm in on it. I live in a country where there's a democracy, but I live in a kingdom that has a king. And I'm all under him. And whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. But I told you to say this. Say, he can do it. And tell your neighbor, he can do it for you. But here's a trick that the enemy will try to put on you. Is he can't do it for me because of my past, or he can't do it for me because of something that I did that nobody else sees. Can I tell you that you've got a lot of stuff in your life that nobody else sees and knows about? If you're truthful with yourself. And I said this last week. I said, we waste a lot of time worrying about how much of our life is occupied in someone else's brain, when the truth is, we're really not that important. We waste a lot of time worrying that somebody else's perception of me is not as high as I want it to be. So what do? We act out in front of them. And then we go home disappointed because we know what we really are. There's a lot of bondage in that. And the Lord wants us to be free. And the Lord wants you to see that he can do anything. And it really doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't really matter what you've done. He can do anything. And he wants you to see that he is a God of power who is able to do what you can't see. I'm going to explain that. Turn to John chapter 5, please. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 5. one of the enemy's top methods is to remind you of what you are not. Another of his top methods is to remind you of your past. But the enemy wants to remind me of what I am not. Because if he can get into my mind and remind me of what I am not, then he is robbing me from what my identity is. And your identity is so important in Christ. Luke chapter 5. I keep saying John. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, going through verse 26. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Can you say everybody was there? Let's make it more specific. Everybody who was anybody was there. Oh, I didn't mean y'all didn't have to repeat that. So, but thank you. Gold stars for those who participated. You get the participation award. But, you know, it's the 2019s. So everybody gets one. Don't worry if you didn't get the participation award. We all did it. We live in some crazy times. Where was I? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I got all messed up in the first verse. So you've got all these Pharisees, religious people, teachers of the law. What did I say a minute ago? Jesus, you've got Jesus, and he's teaching, but you've also got these Pharisees and teachers of the law. So what did I say? You've got Jesus. What am I saying right here? You've got Jesus and religious people all in the same place. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So you got Jesus and all these religious people. And what did we talk about earlier? Jesus will break a rule to reach a people. But religious people will keep a rule and break a person. So you got this. This is the atmosphere. I want you to understand, this is a tense atmosphere. And Jesus is teaching. Then behold. So somebody say, out of nowhere. Men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. It'd be like this. Anybody opens that door. You know where y'all's head goes? Everybody. Your head goes. You know where the corner of my eye goes? I want to see too. It's human nature. So Jesus is teaching, and all of a sudden, here comes these guys bringing somebody on a bed that is paralyzed. Tense situation, and here comes something crazy. But how many of you know God wants you to see things? How many of you are okay with him doing something abstract or out of the ordinary? I like it when something happens and I have to look at that and say, I've never seen him do it like that before. This is one of those times. People are going to leave here saying, I never seen it done like that before. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. So very powerful. Man, your sins are forgiven you. But because of the atmosphere, this was the match that struck and all the gas fumes that were in the room built up. It's on. All of a sudden, The tension that was there was truly realized by everyone, because Jesus, who was full of grace and truth, began to speak truth to this man, and he said to this paralyzed man, "Man, your faith has saved you." And to the religious people, it blew them up, and they blew their stack, they cracked a block, they blew a gasket, they couldn't hold it anymore. It's like, I knew you were going to do something like this. I knew you were going to pull something like this. So let me tell you what you did wrong, Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, and let me tell you, just stop right there and tell you, that his perceptions are never wrong. He perceives to the T exactly what's going on, and you don't have to say a word. He already knows. Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk?" How many of you will say this? If he can do this, then he can do that. That's what he's wanting you to see. If he can do this, he can do that. Just let that go in your mind for a second. And he's not worried about stirring anything up. Matter of fact, if anybody's going to show out, the Holy Spirit's going to show out. Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? They had just got through saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus, knowing what was in their hearts and in their thoughts, he said this, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk?" I love that he answers a question with a question. This is like, who's smartest here today? You got a question? I got a question. There was a time when they came to Jesus with a question, and he said, "I'll answer a question for you from you if you answer this question from me." And his question from him shut their mouth. Ever felt like you're the smartest person in the room? Unless you are by yourself, that will always be debatable. And even then, it still might be debatable. "But that you may know," we go back, "which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," what he's saying is this. You're talking about a God in heaven, but I'm telling you that the power of heaven is here today, and it's on this earth, and this is it. They weren't just tore up. They was toe up about it. I bet veins were popping out on them. I bet teeth were breaking off and crumbling in their mouth. And they were drinking their own blood. They were so tore up about what Jesus was telling them. They couldn't believe it because they couldn't see it, because if they saw it, they would have had to perceive him right so that they could receive him. They never received him because they did not perceive him the right way. But he was who he was the whole time. Somebody else perceived Jesus. It was these friends that took this paralyzed man up, and they received Jesus because they perceived him right. And then when he came on the scene, can I tell you the number one thing Jesus is after is your heart. The number one thing that he does is forgive us of our sins. Let me tell you this. If he heals you, even the people, how many of you know that the Bible talks about there are people that Jesus healed and there are people that he raised back from the dead? You know where they're at today? Dead. How about that? Everybody that Jesus raised from the dead is dead today. Because even that was a temporary thing. But your salvation is an eternal thing. So when Jesus comes on the scene, he is way more concerned with the eternal than the temporary. That's the God we serve. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Like I said, I love it when God does something that we're not used to him doing. When he mixes it up a little bit. When he changes it. You know, if we always have I believe in order, and I believe in practicing, and I believe in having a plan, and I believe in doing it the best that you can, but I also love a divine interruption. Because if I can tell you that we're going to take I get exposed to a lot of things, and I get exposed to some wonderful things, and I get exposed to some things, and I get exposed to some things that look really great. And I see some of the behind the scenes things, and I've been privileged to see those things. I actually get to walk through doors that I didn't open. And I get to sit with some people I should not be able to sit with. And I've been shown some things that they show me that are working there, and they may work here. And there's some things that are working at their church, and I look at it and I say, that's hard for me. I got about 100 people at my church. You got tens of thousands of people at your church, and you're telling me that you live and die by this schedule that you've got. See, it's behind the scenes stuff. I'm not sure to put this out there. I'm not going to name the church. It's not my pastor, just in case my pastor lives. It's not him. But there is churches who have a protocol. And I'm not saying that they're not doing some wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. This is not a jealous moment. They're doing some wonderful things. I'm telling you, God can do anything. He can even take our protocol. And that's what I'm praying to. God, just change that up. But to say an announcement, it's going to go 34 seconds. And then a song is going to go 4 minutes and 2 seconds. Followed by a 2-minute prayer. And then 6 minutes we're going to spend on this. And then 14-minute sermon. And then instead of an altar call, we're going to get everyone that answered the call. We're going to take them back to this room and we're going to minister to them so that they can get the next 10,000 in. See, there's a reason for some of it, but let me tell you this. If this is my belief, this is my commentary. If I can tell you exactly when everything is going to happen in a sermon, in a service, then I can tell you exactly that it is man-driven. I like it when there's those things that could happen that nobody planned on. Nobody knew that this was going to happen. Because when those things happen, it lets me know that there was more going on than just what men had planned. So we've got this heated situation going on. And we've got these people that don't believe, and they're mad, and they don't like it, and they already believe that Jesus is something that is happening. He's this guy, and we really need to get him killed to be the best situation. You know, that's what was going on in their mind. Not how we can kill him, when we could kill him. Because murder was in their hearts. And they were looking for an opportunity. But see, there were also some believers there. Let there always be a believer in the crowd. Just one is all it takes. But there's these believers that are there, so they can't take Jesus down now. And even when there were no believers, they could not take Jesus down until it was his time, because they didn't take his life. He laid his life down. Right? There's a difference. You remember there was one time when they grabbed him and they would have taken him to kill him. And what did he do? He walked right through them. Y'all ain't got nothing on me. You can't even. Jesus said. Okay, I didn't do that right. Just forget that. Y'all know what I mean. Couldn't touch him. Couldn't touch him. Because it wasn't his time. Something about his time. We should learn to love and appreciate. So we got this hot situation that's just gone volatile and it's exploded and it's a mess, except for Jesus is still in control. And as soon as he said, your faith has healed you. I'm sorry, your faith has saved you. There it went. You can't do that. You can't do that. And Jesus said, which is easier for me to say? Rise up and walk. Or you're saved from your sin. He gave him the choice. Why would he say that? Why would he do that? When he told the man, your faith has saved you, and this is about your sight, this is about your perception. What changed in that man to let them know that he was saved? I'm going to answer it for you so nobody gets it wrong. Nothing on the outside. Nothing. Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Guess what? That man went from being not saved to being saved like that. I believe it. Nobody could have seen it except Jesus, but it happened just like Jesus said. So here's what you've got to understand. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. If you ever need to know where it's at, it's on that wall right back there. We live by faith and not by sight. Just because I did not see it happen did not mean it did not happen. Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Is that what it said? That man was saved. Do you believe it? So Jesus did something nobody could see. Jesus did something nobody could see. You could only agree with it or disagree with it. Your faith has saved you. Jesus says it. You know what we want to do? We want to see it. Jesus did something. It must be miraculous. I need to see it. Where's it at? Where's the proof? I need the proof. Right? Is it okay just for Jesus to say it? Can you believe it just because Jesus said it? Because that's where you're supposed to be in your faith. So Jesus did this. He said, so that you believe that the Son of Man hath power to save and power to heal. He looked at the man and he said, take up your bed and walk. And the man immediately took up his bed and he went home praising the Lord. Did you see what happened there? Jesus proved that he can do something that you can't see by doing something that you can see. The whole thing was this. Everybody saw the man get healed and come out of his paralyzed position. Not only just that, his body was strengthened where he could pick up his own bed and walk away, not forgetting to praise the Lord as he went and give glory to God. But what no one could see, except through this man's testimony, is that the Lord had saved his soul that day. So that's the whole thing that Jesus was doing. It wasn't like, okay, my only way out of this is for me to start sprinkling peri dust and scare them back off of me with more miracles and more signs and get them away from me and pump up the crowd so they won't kill me. That wasn't what he was trying to do. He was trying to build our faith to a point to where now, from now on, if Jesus says it, we believe it. So that we walk by faith and not by sight. So now I live in a different realm. You see how where we've gone to now is that we're in a different realm. All we've got to know is that Jesus said it. We don't have to see it. We believe it because he said it. That's what makes all the difference in the world. Here's the thing. Anybody can believe that he heals people. If you see the paralyzed man that everybody knew was paralyzed, Jesus is new on the scene, and they bring this man who's paralyzed. He tells him to get up. The man gets up. Everybody has to say, yes, Jesus did that. But only people that really believe him will take him at his word from now on. Anything he says, whatever. Can your faith be stirred to take the promises of God and understand this? If Jesus said it, it is truth. It will happen. If no one believes it, it's his word and it's truth. It is going to happen. Where are you at today? I started off by saying this. He can do it. And you chime that back with me, but look at your neighbor and say, he can do it for you. Do you really believe that he can do it for you? You have to believe. Listen, I can't believe it enough for you. I can't believe it for you more than you believe it for yourself. That's a big thing right there. I can believe with you, but I can't believe it for you. It's tied up in your belief. Jesus can do anything. His proof was right there on that day at that time. He healed the man's salvation. He saved this man's soul. And it was something that no one could see. So he said, the proof of it is this. Get up and walk. If I can do that, then that other thing is already done that I said to do. That's the power of the God that we serve. Will you stand to your feet this morning? What are you believing for? And where's the enemy lying to you? Who am I talking to right now? What is God saying to you that you're having a hard time believing that he said it? Can I tell you, God does not waste words? And God does not mince words. And if he says it, it's going to come to pass. And I believe this as believers. I believe there's some things in his will that are in motion. And we have not grasped it yet because we have not seen enough of it to start believing it. But God wants you to believe ahead of time. I want to believe now for what I believe that the promises of God are. Because when it happens, I want to be all this on the side that said, I knew it was going to happen because he said it was going to happen. I don't want to be the surprised one. I don't want to be the shocked one. I want to be full of faith. And I believe that God has this gift for you today of wholeness. Wholeness. To see the whole package. To see that there are things that God has done, and that there are things that he's able to do, and there are things that he will do, and there are things that he's spoken that's already true. See, the enemy wants you to believe that you're half. He wants to keep your identity in a place where you're just half. You're never going to get to see all the promises of God, but you're going to get to see what you'll believe. God has come to make you whole. I think one of the most frustrating things in this Christian walk is to look at other people and think God will probably do it for them, but he won't do it for me. Here's what you need to look at. If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Will you just boldly say, Jesus, you'll do it for me. Can you say it? Come on, with faith. Jesus, you're going to do it for me. And I thank you for what you've already done. Can you just make up some time right now and go back and thank Jesus for some things right now that he's done in your life, and you might have forgot about it, or you might have even forgot to be thankful, or weren't thankful enough. Just say, God, I thank you. I want you to know I'm thankful for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Now, will you thank him for the promises over your life? Thank you, Jesus, that you've call me to be your child. You've called me to live under you. You've called me to serve. You've called me to walk in harmony and in peace with you, Lord. You've called me to be a child of God. You've called me to be a citizen of heaven. Can I tell you that by faith, your faith has made you saved today? Your faith in God. I am saved by grace through faith. That's what the scripture says. Let my faith arise, God. Let me speak over myself. I am a child of God. I am a first-class citizen of heaven. I am not less than. I'm not second-class anything. I'm not half of a person. I'm whole. In Jesus' name, I am whole. Come on, speak wholeness to yourself. I am whole. No man's opinion is going to hold me down. No man's opinion of me is going to hold me back. In Jesus' name, I'm whole. I belong to you, Jesus. I belong to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is your faith stirred up this morning? Yes. Praise his name. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, that sounds good, but I don't feel like I'm whole yet. I feel like I'm still half. Would you raise your hand wherever you're at where I can see it and say, I just feel like I'm half, Lord. Yes. Hands are going up around this room. If you see someone with their hand raised, I want you to go to them right now and speak wholeness over them. Somebody put your hand on their shoulder and speak wholeness over them. God's not called you to be half. He's called you to be whole in Jesus' name. Speak over yourself. I am whole in Jesus' name. My faith is rising. I believe it. I'm going to be whole. I'm not going to leave here as half today. I'm going to leave whole in Jesus' name. The enemy has lied enough. He's lied too long. And I will not walk around in my mind with that label that he's trying to place on me. I am whole. Speak it over yourself. I am whole in the name of Jesus. The same Jesus that is able to speak healing to a body is able to speak salvation to a soul. The same Jesus that's able to do something temporary is able to do something eternal. And I claim it right now in my life. Eternal. Eternal salvation in Jesus' name. Come on, speak it over yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Jesus, you shed your blood for every one of us so that our sins would be covered. Not just forgiven, covered and forgiven and covered and forgiven and covered and forgiven and removed from your memory, Lord. You've cast it away. So why will I hold on to it any longer? Why should I let the enemy bring up my past any longer? I'm free in Jesus' name. State your freedom right now in Jesus' name. I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm whole in Jesus' name. I'm not half anything. I am whole everything in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you just give him a big hand right now? Thank you, Jesus, for doing work here today.